Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, March the 10th, 2025. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Have a good weekend, Steve.
I did. I had a very good weekend. Today is my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Heather.
Happy birthday to her.
Yeah. And, we went to church and went to lunch and, yeah, had a good old time.
Yeah. You're still a NASCAR fan, are you?
I am.
Yeah, what's going on in the world of NASCAR? I haven't followed it recently.
They were in Phoenix yesterday, the first race of the year in Phoenix, and a guy named Christopher Bell won his third race in a row. He's a relatively
wasn't
young
it the lead racer. Character on like Winnie the Pooh or something?
Yeah, it's maybe.
Christopher Robbins.
Robbins.
Bell. Oh, Christopher oh. Robbins. Christopher Bell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Third race in a row. That has only happened a handful of times in the history of NASCAR.
He won three races in?
Three races. This is the third race in a row.
This is the new star then.
Did you just say he won three races?
Three races.
I did. See how we wrap it?
He won three races.
Three races. Anyway. All right. Well,
so it was a good race.
The star is born.
There you go.
On the NASCAR circuit. By the way, did you fellas see, I just saw this on the Fox News website. You remember the cicadas?
Yeah.
Is that what you pronounce
cicadas,
it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I thought they were one and done last year.
No, I think it's like you have one kind that's like every 13 years, one kind every 17 years, and then every once in a while they hatch together, and that was the thing last year. I think that
there were two herds or whatever they're called that were going to come up out of the ground, so it was a double, and I don't know if they were right together or if one of them was like now, but yeah, every 7 years or 10 years.
I may have overspoken. One of them's real long, and then the other one's shorter intervals. And every once in a while, they all
keep
pop
going.
Out of the ground at the same time.
Do they? Wow. I just learned a lot, Ed, right there in your little science class on cicadas.
Yeah, I got these bugs, and they pop out of the ground. I don't know how often they do it, but they do it on a regular basis.
Well, what I was getting at was there's a story about the cicadas. And of course, we were all familiar with them emerging last year.
Emerging.
I heard them in my backyard, you know, out in the woods there.
You hear them everywhere, yeah.
And so they were all over the, maybe not all over the country, but they were in lots of the country making like a, they like drowned out the crickets.
Yeah.
Okay? Crickets are nothing for these cicadas.
Cicadas.
But now, see, I thought this was their year last summer, and they were gone for another. How long did they go hibernate? They're very lazy animals.
Are you checking that, Steve? He's on to.
But we got different brands of cicadas, is what you're telling me, which I didn't
yes.
know. So round two's back with a different.
All right, so I was right.
Okay.
So y'all mocked me.
Okay, what were you right about?
Periodical cicadas.
Uh-huh.
Some periodical cicadas emerge every 13 years. Others emerge every 17 years. And then sometimes, just because of the way the years go, they come out, they emerge at the same year. The 13 cycle
kind of like
matches.
Cicada. You win the cicada lottery.
Yes, and that's why they're everywhere.
It's
and they're
cicada,
so loud.
Starting with a soft C. Yes, cicada, right? Isn't that right?
Cicada, yeah.
Yeah,
cicada. Anyway, they're back.
I'll tell you, they make good eating.
Oh my gosh.
They got no chemicals.
I did not need it.
No preservatives.
Huh?
Got a good solid crunch to them.
Good source of protein, Ed.
Good source of protein. Yeah.
Well, at our house, we'll eat them with some hummus.
Oh, there you go.
That's disgusting, actually.
The hummus part itself is kind of huge.
I'm making that up.
Yeah.
I don't eat cicadas. But there are people in the globalist community who would like you to eat insects and like it.
Well, are they free range?
Yes.
Cicadas are as free range as you can get.
Okay, well, there you go.
Here's something I didn't know about cicadas is that a lot of copperheads, they will hang around trees to eat the cicadas. And so when cicadas pop out, you need to be careful.
They need to be careful.
Well,
you talking about the copperhead snakes? They're
Yeah, probably snakes in general, but they're venomous, so be careful.
Well, listen, I was looking at the map of the U.S., and there are particular places this summer where this is going to be a big deal. Tennessee, Kentucky. Man, I'm looking at the map of Kentucky. They're just going to be eaten up with cicadas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Parts of Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Kentucky.
Yeah, it's kind of like the almost the Appalachian
area
of the country there is going to be heavily impacted by the second round of cicadas. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, what's your first story?
Well, we've been keeping track over at the American Family News of the persecution of Christians. We're getting more and more of it around the world, and I've got a hope to be about a weekly story with Todd Nettleton, the Voice of the Martyrs. But the current problem, the current crisis seems to be in Syria. So you will remember that when Israel went and took out Hamas, and then they took out the Hezbollah leaders with the buzzers and everything, their pagers, they basically also stopped the flow of money from Iran. Iran is having a hard time sponsoring these things. Well, one of the things that happened was that Bashar al-Assad, Syria's Bashar al-Assad, was deposed. And so he had been I don't know if you call him moderate, not moderate. He was a ruthless dictator to his people, but he didn't particularly pick on Christians. Now they are. And about a thousand Christians since Thursday have been massacred, churches burned, beaten. It's horrible now going on in Syria right now for believers.
Well, and part of the explanation, from my understanding, for why Bashar al-Assad, who was not a good guy, was a dictator, but he was from, in the Muslim community, a Muslim minority. I'll look this up. And so he was more sensitive to and protected religious minorities, including Christians.
Yep.
In Syria, and liked Christians serving in the government because you could count on them, and they're generally honest. Well, this new guy, Ahmed al-Shara, he is a former ISIS guy, and now he's persecuting the religious minorities.
Yeah.
It's not just Christians.
No,
it's other, even Muslim minorities, but Christians are taking the brunt of it. And I'm trying.
I wonder
to look
if
up
now if there'll be protests across the country, the U.S. in citing the ethnic cleansing that the ISIS
and
leader in Syria has taken against Christians in that country. Ed,
we are not going to see that. We're not going to see those protests
because Christians don't matter.
Because Christians, first of all, Christians don't matter to the people who are protesting on these college campuses. But it also doesn't fit the narrative that Israel is the oppressive power in the Middle East. And you're not going to hear anyone on the left saying Muslims are an oppressive power at times in the Middle East, because that doesn't fit the narrative either.
So I tell you, protests against the persecution of Christians on college campuses, protests on college campuses against the persecution of Christians, I should say, is not going to happen, like Ed said. And if it did, it would draw some light to this subject. It would be good to people to know. But here's what we're doing now. We're calling people to prayer for our brothers and sisters in Syria, which is immeasurably more effective than a protest on a college campus. So, folks, remember the Syrian Christians in prayer and Christians around the world that are being martyred in prayer. And I'll tell you, if you want to learn more about what's going on there, you can go to Voice of the Martyrs, their website. I believe it's voiceofthemartyrs.com.
And American Family News is covering this.
We are.
you've been doing some stories and will continue to do some stories. What I mentioned, the former Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, is an Alawite. That is that's the third largest religious group in Syria after the Sunni and Shia Muslims. So that's why he was a little more sympathetic to other religious minorities.
Well, it is dangerous many parts of the world to be a Christian.
Yes.
We hear about this going on in Africa too, where the Muslims are persecuting the Christians.
Slaughtered a whole village, didn't they, a week ago?
You don't hear about it much because, as Ed said and Steve said, it doesn't fit the narrative of the liberal media. They don't really want to cover that, because to cover that is to highlight the murderous religion. Again, I need to preface that by saying not all Muslims fall into this category, but the history of Islam is conquering by the sword.
Yeah.
Huh?
Absolutely.
So that's continues to go on even today in many parts of the world. So, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's your next story,
Steve? All right, we've been watching the Democrat Party kind of fall apart and wander around in the wilderness since the election. They just don't seem to be able to have a message.
Who doesn't have a message?
The Democrat Party. There's so many things coming at them from President Trump that they don't know what to focus on, first of all. But second of all, they can't walk away from the woke. They can't stop saying that trans kids could have surgeries and pronouns and DEI and everything. So everybody's been kind of waiting and to see when a Democrat or the Democrat Party will kind of start catching on that they need to move to the center. Well, we have an early candidate for that. But don't be fooled, folks. This is politics. I want you to listen to Cut 13. This is Gavin Newsom, governor of California. And let me tell you, folks, he didn't say it, but he's running for president.
So like, you right now should come out and be like, you know what? The young man who's about to win the state championship in the long jump in female sports, that shouldn't happen. You, as the governor, should step out and say no.
No, and I appreciate.
But like, would you do something like that? Would you say no men in female sports?
Well, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that. So that's easy to call out, the unfairness of that. There's also a humility and a grace, that these poor people are more likely to commit suicide, have anxiety and depression. And the way that people talk down to vulnerable communities is an issue that I have a hard time with as well. So both things I can hold in my hand.
So that was, by the way, on Gavin Newsom's new podcast. That was not on Charlie Kirk. That was Charlie Kirk you heard. It's not on his podcast.
Really? I didn't know that.
Gavin Newsom has launched a new podcast, and he's having conservatives on so that he can kind of put his foot in the ring as a conservative. He's not. Our good friend Brad Dacus, I was talking to about this the other day. Pacific Justice Institute. Brad said to me, he says, it might seem that Gavin Newsom has seen the light, but really all he's seen is the White House.
This is smart politically for Gavin Newsom. He was the governor of the governor. I'm saying if he runs for president, he will say, I was the governor of the most populous state in the country. He will have to figure out ways to defend what he did while he was governor. But this is smart, because smart politicians on the left, I think, have probably figured out that this woke madness, not all of woke ideology, but the woke madness, like defending boys winning state championships in women's sports, is not selling with the American people. Nobody's buying it. The vast majority of people think it's wrong. And you're going to have to start trying to thread the needle. And that's what he was doing. He was prepared for that, obviously. He was prepared to, on the one hand, say it's an issue of fairness. You can't have boys and girls sports, but we also can't, beat these people up in the locker room, that kind of thing. That's his only option for trying to pull the Democratic Party back towards the center, if you will, if he's going to have a shot at winning the nomination.
Another aspect of this is I'm getting tired of the left always saying that the reason there's a, they'll say the reason that transgendered people are have depression or at a higher risk for suicide is because of you, conservatives, because you make them feel bad and you make them feel guilty, and therefore you're to blame for their mental problems. Now, you don't have to prove that. You know, you just have to say it.
Right.
And all the liberal, you know, groups buy it up and they regurgitate it and they say it over and over and over again to where conservatives have to feel like they have to defend themselves against that charge. When there's no evidence that that's true. And furthermore, listen, you can't not, to use a double negative, speak the truth about issues for fear of being called a hater or a transphobe or something like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and when you throw that argument on the table, the one that you cited, and this has been going on since the early days of the homosexual movement, but now it's been transferred to transgender. You throw that argument on the table. If you don't give the transgender community everything they want, then they're more likely to commit suicide. Now, I think the science is starting to come out that that's not true.
Right.
And that transgender people who transition biologically, make these changes, they have really high rates of suicide ideation and depression, so on and so forth. But to your point, Tim, it immediately puts a conservative on the defensive. Because what do you say?
I know what
you have
saying.
To either say your science is not right, or I don't care if they try to kill themselves. And that second one makes you look like a callous, uncaring person.
And you're judgmental.
And you're judgmental. And the reason why transgenders are losing a lot politically is because conservatives threw their own card on the table. And that is, you can't have men in women's bathrooms. And whatever else we do, you can't do that. And that resonated with people.
So I have a kind of a new tact that I want to take. I haven't been confronted like this yet, but the next time somebody calls me racist or misogynistic or sexist or whatever
transphobic
they think I am because of what I believe, my question to them is, why do you care what I think? I could care less what you think about me. You think I'm racist? I don't care if you think I'm racist.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of leaves them nowhere to go. The minute I say, no, I'm not racist, then all of a sudden that's an argument. You're kind of putting in the.
When did you stop beating your wife?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so my question is, if they're saying that when we Christians don't acknowledge them and their plight and their, you know, their reality of being transgender, why do they care so much what we Christians think? They've got a whole community of LGBT people that have their own month named after them. They don't need our approval. Why do they care? Why does that make them commit suicide if part of the population doesn't agree with them?
Well, because, Steve, you continue to talk about it and you make them feel unsafe. I think that's what they say. You're creating a climate for the haters to come out and harm them. Now listen, it's for 40 years, 30 maybe, this has been a very potent argument that they've used, and the tide is just now turning, I think, because the LGBTQ community went a bridge too far.
And they always will.
And they always will.
They talk about, I've heard transgender activists talk about the transgender massacre or the transgender cleansing, that there's a death cult, a murder spree by conservatives, that transgender people are dying left and right, being killed, but they're not. That's a lie. They put lies out there in the environment, in the discussion, to make you have to respond to things, and it just gums up the whole argument.
All right, next topic, Steve.
All right. So who was the president in December of 2024, Tim?
December of 2024?
Yeah, who was the president of the United States?
It's been Joe Biden.
It was Joe Biden. He was in charge.
But was he really? What we're finding out, the Heritage Foundation, a conservative arm of the Heritage Foundation, has found that many of the documents signed by Joe Biden throughout his term, but increasingly as he got to the end of his term, were signed by what they call the auto pen. And I believe it's not just like a printed signature. I don't know if they use this in the White House, instruments that have a pen, an actual pen, and the computer signs the name. But it's the same every time, and they've been used. So Joe Biden has not been signing the executive orders, the bills, the proclamations. For a while, he hadn't been signing them. So the question is, who was running the government? He did sign the proclamation that said he was resigning. That's what the latest, the only thing he signed.
He was resigning from what?
I'm sorry, he was not running. I'm not resigning. We're not running for the presidency. Thank you.
Okay, what Biden was using was also known as DocuSign, I think. It's an electronic, that may be a proper name of a company, but it's an electronic signature. And most of us listening have used it at one time or another for various reasons. You get an email with an attachment and you're going to take a loan that the bank wants you to sign, and they'll accept your electronic signature, for example. So I think what Biden was doing,
That's not correct. Okay. That is electronic signature, what you're talking about, and you sign contracts and initial stuff. But this is an actual auto sign, is actual ink on actual paper, but it's controlled by computer, not by the person who's signing it.
So I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah.
So there's an arm. It's electronic. There's an arm and a pen.
Yeah.
Or there's some sort of thing like they do on a lie detector test.
Speak among yourselves while I go find a picture.
So the question becomes, was Joe Biden approving the auto sign,
right,
but did not want to sign it because he was having trouble?
I think he didn't know what was going on.
Okay, that's the other option.
No, I think for the last year, of Biden's administration, he didn't have a clue about what was going on a day-to-day basis. And his staff brought him stuff to sign. Mm-hmm. And when he didn't sign it, or they didn't want to try to get him to sign it or explain it to him, they would just get this auto sign that Steve's talking about. That's the way I'm reading this.
Those are the two options. The two options are that Biden approved the auto sign signature, but I don't want my hand to cramp, so use the auto sign. Or he didn't know what was being signed, and someone was signing it in his name, which raises the question: who was running the government?
Listen, he was not able to, on a consistent basis, day to day basis. Biden was not able to ascertain the issue and the information that was being that would have gone into something being requiring a signature. He didn't read it,
right?
And it may have been explained to him a little bit, although I doubt that was even the case. They just said, "Here, Mr. President, it's time to." And Steve's talking about that he didn't even know he was doing it; that somebody was signing on his behalf.
Yeah.
So that became glaringly obvious on that first debate when Biden walked out on the stage, and the moment he walked out there, he was staring off into space. It was tragic to watch.
The only way we're going to find that out is you're going to have some whistleblowers who admit
it. Right. All right, we're out of time. We thank you for yours. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio, everybody.